Father, we're just so thankful today, and it gives us such joy to be able to gather here today as your people, and to know that you love us, to know that you care for us, to know that you know all the details of our life, and you know where we've been and where we are and where we're headed, and you know what your plan is for us, and you know what are the things that need to be introduced into our lives so that we might become more like your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have trusted for our soul salvation, but through whom we are being changed and transformed daily into your image. And so, Lord, today we pray as we come to your word, these passages, that we may take encouragement from the fact that you have promised that whatever you have begun, you will finish, that you will work it all out, and that in the end, we really will, in the words of an old song, understand it better by and by. One day, all the pieces will come together. One day, we will understand. But for today, Lord, just help us to take courage in the fact that this is true. It has been spoken by others who walk with you. It has been spoken in your word. It is your truth. You will do what you say, and we must trust that with all of our hearts. So give us hearts today to trust you in the midst of whatever we may be going through, to wait for your direction, to allow your hand to be what is guiding us, not our own thoughts, our own plans, or the opinions of others, and to let you do your work until it is complete, for then it will bring honor and glory to you, and it will bring forth the harvest that you desire. That is our prayer today, and we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. If you are among those who like to do the little thing we put in there with all the blanks, there's quite a few of them today, so have your pen or pencil ready, have it well oiled and all that, and ready to go. When I was just a boy, there was a lady that was well known in our country by the name of Doris Day. And she had this song. When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, what will I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? Here's what she said to me. Que será, será. Whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. Que será, será. When I was young, I fell in love. I asked my sweetheart, what lies ahead? Will we have rainbows day after day? Here's what my sweetheart said. Que será, será. Whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. Que será, será. Now I have children of my own. They ask their mother, what will I be? Will I be handsome? Will I be rich? I tell them tenderly. Que será, será. Whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. Que será, será. Anybody old enough to remember that song besides me? Oh, quite a few of us. How about that? And I think the point being made in the song is, you know, we can't worry about that right now. We don't know what all of that is going to look like right now or how it's going to work out. But we know that in the end, it will. But I'm here to tell you today, as God's servant and as God's child, that we have it even better than that. Because we have His Word. We have His promise. We have His guiding hand. We have His hand on our lives. We have the One who made it all and knows it all to lead us and to guide us. And not only that, He has a purpose for us. And it is His purpose to lead us in His purpose. And the only way we would miss it would be to just actively oppose it and just refuse anything that He offers us. But if we have a heart toward the Lord, if our basic desire is to please Him, if we wait before Him, if we seek Him in prayer, if we seek Him in His Word, He has promised that He will lead us, He will work it all out, and it will all be exactly the way that He wants it. And in this Psalm 138, which is our key verse for today, He says, in verse 8, the Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. And that is a verse that the Lord used in my life at a very critical time in the month of August 1965. We had come out of Puerto Rico, and my dad was really, really ill, and at that time we didn't know what was wrong, and we didn't know that in just a couple of months he would be with the Lord. And we were traveling and visiting churches, and in the meantime, some happenings happened up at the conference grounds up in Lake Odessa, Michigan. And we were staying in a little town called East Earl, Pennsylvania, which is just a rural area of Pennsylvania outside of Lancaster. We were parked there for several weeks. Every night I was in prayer to the Lord. And we were visiting this church, this little church there. It's still there today that supported us, Cedar Lane Chapel. And the Lord gave me that verse that morning. I felt like that was his word to me that day. And it was that the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Now, I was reading it in the King James. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me, is what it says in the King James. Let me read it to you in a few versions. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. King James Version. Complete Jewish Bible. Adonai will fulfill his purpose for me. Your grace, Adonai, continues forever. Don't abandon the work of your hands. The Good News Translation. You will do everything you have promised. Lord, your love is eternal. Complete the work that you have begun. The New American Standard Version. The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Your loving kindness, O Lord, is everlasting. Do not forsake the works of your hands. The New International Reader's Version. Lord, you will do everything you have planned for me. Lord, your faithful love continues forever. You have done so much for us. Don't stop now. I like that one. The New Life Version. The Lord will finish the work he started for me. Oh, Lord, your loving kindness lasts forever. Do not turn away from the works of your hands. And the New Living Translation. The Lord will work out his plans for my life. For your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. Don't abandon me, for you made me. That was in early August 1965. On September 8th, Barbara and I became engaged to be married. And the rest is history. But God uses his word to speak to us at important times in our life. And if you've ever been at a crossroads, if you've ever been at a juncture where you have a decision to make and you don't know for sure what to do, if you've had something come into your life totally unexpected and you're still reeling from it and you haven't even been able to assimilate it all yet and you don't know exactly what it means, if you just simply are seeking God concerning his direction for your life, if any of those things are true of you, then this verse and these principles are for you. Because we've probably all been there at one time or another. I kind of think our lives are kind of like, how many have ever watched one of those shows? I don't know that I've maybe seen a few too, whether it's a chalk drawing or a painting or whatever, and the artist is up there. Now, the artist already knows what the picture's going to look like, but he's up there, and he's got that blank thing up there, and he's making some strokes, and you're like, what in the world is that? Y'all ever seen that? And that's kind of how our lives are. And sometimes, even when we get up there around college age or whatever, we still don't know, or even older, and sometimes we don't know, and we're like, I don't know what God's doing here. We've probably all been there before. I don't know what God's doing here. And see, it isn't until later, and then later in the picture, then all of a sudden, you kind of start, okay, I kind of see an outline here. I kind of get an idea of where the artist is going with this. And then until that last stroke. And that's the way our lives are. And we are his workmanship and made by him. And of course, as his prized possession, as a believer in Jesus, we're his prized possession. And he's going to complete the painting. God doesn't start stuff and then walk away. God doesn't do that. I've told you that before. It's in His nature. It's in His character. He who began a good work in you will what? Be faithful to what? Complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. My job is simply to trust. It's okay to have questions, just as long as I'm trusting Him while I'm asking those questions. But He will work it out for His honor and His glory. And I think of lives. You know, I think of these little lives now, some where we were at one time, and just the first few little strokes are there, and we don't see much of it yet. And then we see the other lives, you know, around middle age time, and the picture's beginning to take form. And then we have a Billy Graham who is now what? 94, 95, somewhere like that. His picture is almost done. And so that's how it is. And of course, we don't know how long our life will be, do we? We don't know when it will be, as we would see things, cut short. But I can tell you this, God's plan, God's purpose. He said to Jacob that first night when he had that dream of the ladder going to heaven, He said, I will not leave you until I have done everything that I have promised you. And old Jacob wasn't even where he needed to be yet. Not even close. It would take another 20 years of the Lord working on Jacob until he finally got to the place where God wanted him, and God then changed his name to Israel. But the point is that what? God has a plan and a purpose. He had a plan and a purpose for Abraham. Did he complete it? He had a plan and a purpose for Noah. Did he complete it? He had a plan and a purpose for Moses. Did he complete it? He had a plan and a purpose for David. Did he complete it? And we could go on down the list. He had a plan and a purpose for the Lord Jesus Christ. Did he complete it? He had a plan and a purpose for Peter and John and for the Apostle Paul. Did he complete it? Yes, and he will complete it in you as well. So let's just look at a few just principles here, just a few observations. Number one, since God is the creator of all things, He knows the end from the beginning and every option in between. These little toys we make, these computers that can do multiple millions or billions of transactions in a millionth of a second and all of that, they're nothing but little old toys. Man has not come up with anything that can even begin to stump God or can even begin in any way to put a dent in His knowledge, in His wisdom, in His power, in His sovereignty. God is the creator of it all. He made the stuff that the computer's made out of. How many of you have heard that story where the scientists say to God, we don't need you anymore. We can create life from dirt. And the Lord says, show me. And the scientist goes to put some dirt together. And the Lord says, oh, no, no, no. Get your own dirt. The Lord has made it all, and He knows the end from the beginning and every option in between. Don't ever believe for a minute. We're down here in our little tiny setting, and things look so big to us, some kind of tsunami or some kind of this or that, and it looks so big to us. God is bigger than it all. Nothing is unknown to Him. Nothing catches Him by surprise. And He knows every detail of every one of us. We are His workmanship. He knows, as to use a phrase we use, what makes us tick. He really does. Number two, God does not initiate anything He does not intend to finish. When He began that work of creation on day one, He didn't rest until it was complete, did He? That's what I just heard. Then when it was 100% complete, when He had done everything that He set out to do, then He rested, but not until then. And that should be a great comfort to every one of us. If He's begun a work in you, He ain't going to take a vacation or leave or sit down or do anything until that work is done. Can I hear an amen? He is going to do it. He doesn't initiate anything he does not intend to finish. And if he intends to finish it, he will. Sometimes we start something and we intend to finish it, but we kind of get sidetracked along the way, you know? Does that ever happen to anybody? But that doesn't happen to God. He doesn't forget. And if he intends to finish it, if he initiates it, he intends to finish it. And if he intends to finish it, he does finish it. Number three, as Christians, we are God's workmanship, both by creation and redemption. We used to have that little object lesson or story or whatever, little boat twice owned. Little boy makes his boat. He's so proud of it, it gets away from him, washes downstream. A couple months later, he sees it in the window of a local store. He goes in. The man says, well, if you want it, you've got to buy it. So he works hard, saves up, buys it. He says, little boat, you're mine twice. First, because I made you, and second, because I bought you. And if God loved us enough to put that kind of work in us, do you think he's going to leave our life half-baked and just leave us to our own devices unattended? You know, he doesn't do that. Now, he doesn't come every time, you know, something's going on. Sometimes he lets a little time go by, you know, and we're wondering, well, does the Lord know about this? That's always a funny one to me. Or does the Lord care? You remember the disciples? Lord, do you care? We're all going to drown here. No, he knows. And we're his. So we're just not. You wouldn't do that to your own child, and he's not going to do that to us. Number four, God has a specific plan for each of us and is dedicated to bringing it to completion. And I know he has a general will and purpose. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And in general, he wants us all to love him and serve him. But I do believe God made each of us unique. I believe he made us for a certain time, a certain place, a certain setting, with certain giftednesses, with certain things for a certain reason, and that if we're yielded to him, we belong to him, and he has a specific purpose for every one of us. Amen? And I mean, even us. I mean, anything we do, anything we make, it's for a reason. It's for a purpose. It's not just to while the time away. So, he's dedicated to seeing it through. Number five, even though God knows the end from the beginning, his plan is unfolded day by day. And that is just the way the Lord has planned it. He knows the end from the beginning. But it is played out day by day. By day. And that's the way it was. He knew all along he was going to send the Lord Jesus Christ. But from the moment the Lord Jesus Christ was conceived of the Holy Spirit until the night that he was born and the shepherds came and all those years he was growing up and then ultimately gives his life on the cross and is buried and rises the third day and then ascends. That had been planned since the foundation of the world. But when the time came to do it, his life just worked out day by day, just like the rest of ours. I watch some YouTube once in a while, and there's that little red thing moving across the bottom. I know when it's halfway, three quarters of the way, when it's getting to the end. That's the Lord with our lives. But I'm sitting there watching it in what I call real time. And that's the way our lives are before the Lord. Number six, since the totality of God's plan is not known to us, this requires that we walk with him day by day in trust, reliance, and surrender. And that's where it gets sticky, see? Because we have plans of our own. And we have a quality called impatience. And that was one of my big problems when I was young. It might still be sometimes. But we have these things, see. So since we don't know the totality of his plan, we just have to wait sometimes. And like Ellen Seymour tells me, she said, we don't like waiting. But her favorite verse is that psalm her daddy taught her about waiting on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And that's what we have to do. When we don't know the answer, do the last thing the Lord told you to do. Be faithful. Hang in there. Stay open before him. Let him steer you. Let him guide you. Let him direct you. But don't take matters into your own hands. Look what happened when old Abraham and Sarah thought they'd take matters in their own hands and help the Lord fulfill his purpose. You know what happened, right? And there are some others in the Bible that did that. Never did work out good. No, we just have to trust, rely, and in some cases, if we're fighting a little bit, surrender. Number 7, God uses all factors in our formation and development. That'd be our heritage, birth, education, events in our lives. He uses all that stuff. I was just reading again yesterday, Watchman Nee, talking about the Apostle Paul and how that even down to his vocation and all that, God had already prepared him in certain ways, even before he met the Lord on the Damascus Road. The Lord uses all factors in our formation and development. With his word and the guidance of the Holy Spirit being key in the life of the believer. So those are the two things. If we're looking for God's direction, he will invariably use his word and or in combination with the work of his Holy Spirit to give us the guidance we need. Now sometimes that little bit of direction may come through also some event that the Lord arranges. It may come through some word of advice, correction, or encouragement from one of our brothers or sisters in Christ. But even if it comes that way, that's still the word of the Lord, and that's still the Lord working. But he uses all these things in order to get us where we need to be. Number 8. Someone has said that, quote, our disappointment are his appointments. How true. I don't know where I heard that. I probably heard it on the radio years ago or something. How many know this verse? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And then he goes on to tell us that his word always accomplishes its purpose and for the reason that it is sent, and that his word never returns to him void, and that he will always accomplish his objective through his word. But he says, so sometimes things happen and we view it as a great disappointment. We may even go through a long time of grieving or a long time of struggling with it or a long time. And if that's what we have to do, that's what we have to do. But it's only later when we look back that we realize that what for us at the time was a tremendous personal disappointment was actually God at work, keeping us from something that he knew that we didn't know. Some hidden danger, something hidden that we did not understand at the time. How many have heard of stories where somebody's flight, for some reason, they were unable to get on it, only to learn later that that plane went down? That's just a microcosm of what we're talking about. Or simply that the Lord had a better plan. We thought this was the best plan. We were fixed on it. And the Lord had another plan. Now let me ask you this. Even if I don't quite understand it or don't quite know, but whose plan is better? The Lord's plan or my plan?
The Lord's
plan. And inevitably, sometimes His plan, which is superior to mine, will come across in the moment as a disappointment. So, if you have a disappointment, what should you do? I say give it to God. Give it to God. Now, I've been into the Lord many times over the things. It's okay. You can handle it. Just as long as in the end we're willing to submit and obey. But if you're saying, Lord, I just don't understand it, that's fine. It's fine to voice that. That's how you're feeling. He already knows that's how you're feeling. So it's okay. But remain open to what He would show you. You may understand it a week later, a month later, or maybe not even until years later. But one day, you'll look back and say, Lord, thank you. Number 9, God has not forgotten your situation, your pain, or your questions. But His timetable is not our timetable. And this is the other place where we often get stuck. And I know it from personal experience, and I know it from observing others, and we're all human, and we all live in these same frail human bodies, and we all have the same weaknesses and concerns and all the rest. But so often, it is the timing of things. And again, we have this little thing called impatience. And it's the timing of things. But again, whose timing is better? Mine or His?
His.
Even though it may be killing me to wait. But His timing is always best. So what do we do while we're waiting? If we are waiting, we keep praying, we keep serving, we remain faithful, and we allow the Lord to work. Lastly, number 10, like David, hang your future on this great truth. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. He doesn't say, may fulfill His purpose for me. He doesn't say, well, I hope He will fulfill His purpose for me. No, He just makes a statement of fact. He says, the Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. And do you know what verse 7 says? That's verse 8. Verse 7 says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, You preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. Lord, I'm going through some bad times here. I'm going through some troubled times here. I've got opposition. I've got enemies. I've got people that want my destruction. I want people that don't want your will and your purpose fulfilled in my life. I am encountering some difficulty and some opposition. However, I know that your sovereignty will prevail, and because of that, I can say the Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures how long? Forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. Lord, you made me. I'm yours. And I know you'll see me through. So, my dear friend, today, whether you're just waiting for an answer on something, or whether you've had something unexpected come up that seems to complicate things, at least for the short term, or there are just some things that you're struggling with and just don't understand, take that soul and claim it and make it your own. The Lord used it in my life at one critical time, and He'll use it in your life as well, because it is His word and He has not changed. Amen? Shall we pray? Father, we come to you today. Our own ways are not known to us, O Lord. But our ways are known to you. And what we need is to learn of your ways. And that is why you allow us to go through certain things. It is not that you have abandoned us. It is not that you have forgotten us. It is that you have things you want to work in us. And it is that you have even better things in store for those who wait on you. And so I pray today, work in our hearts. Make us malleable before you. Let us put aside our fears. Let us put aside our resentments. Let us put aside our anger. And let us, Lord, just wait quietly and patiently before you. And let us take whatever it is we're dealing with and put it in your hands and let you work it out, because you will work it out for your honor and your glory. And in the process, we will benefit as well. And so will the people around us. So make us willing for your will. Make us willing for your purpose. Make us even that we would delight in your purpose rather than our own. We thank you, Father. We give you all the glory and honor. Through Christ our Lord, we pray.